Welcome to the Daily VFit Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome everybody in our Christian Television Network audience and around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh, here we are. We are hopefully, by God's grace, going to wrap up in our programs today, four programs back to back, The Heart of Nehemiah, The Secret to Transforming or to Rebuilding the Church in America. And if you've missed this, you need to get it because we need to build, and we need to build quickly.
That's right.
So we got to really pay attention in the context of what's taking place, because understand this. This is what the Lord had said to me. Some of the things that I can share is reveal the strategies of the adversary, and God just does that kind of thing. And we're hearing others here as well, but understand that God just does that. So imagine knowing the battle plan. Imagine knowing the strategy of Lucifer and what he was doing. I mean, just imagine that. And I guess you could say this, you know, and I just want to encourage you today that God loves you so much that he's saying, listen, here's a strategy, a heavenly divine strategy to prevent the evil intent of the adversary. But you also have to know in the context of this, the only reason why the adversary has such an upper hand is because we have sinned. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're not walking around on top of water and, you know, things parting and angels saying hallelujah, and all of a sudden the adversary comes in. You know, it makes me think about, if you haven't heard yet, you need to go or watch, go to VFN TV store, VFNTV.com, and get, you know, positioning yourself. There's a vast army coming against you, but you can position yourself with God. And the title of that particular teaching is,
I think you can position yourself.
Yeah, well, a vast army is coming against you, I believe, but you're positioning yourself that God can give you victory. Potentially, you can have victory over your adversaries. Mm-hmm. And it's a possibility because you got to position yourself, and you just don't know how far have we pushed God's patience. I know if you listen to most of the public broadcasting of teachings and video and television and all that, it seems like you cannot push God's patience beyond. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to bring any kind of discipline,
right?
And any good father, if he loves you, he's going to at some point, even against his deepest desires, he is going to come in there and let you have it in hopes that you would turn.
That's right.
Because
he loves you.
Yeah, knowing that that you can, in your darkness, you could misconstrue the entire thing. But at that point, that's your hope. And they say, discipline your children while there's still time so that they can live. Well, hey, we're the children of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Consider hardship as discipline. The Lord's treating you as a son. You know, and we're going to begin to talk about this today as we hopefully, you know, begin over the next couple of days on CTN and over VFN Radio, just kind of bring this to a point. But I'm just sensing right now, and God's just revealing to me that it's cranking up a notch. Mm-hmm. It's cranking up a, oh, are you serious notch? And the fact that when we're going through this last part of the realization of how Nehemiah was reviewing how they got to where God's people got to where they are, we realize that, as we talked about in a previous program, that, you know, all of a sudden, when you're in darkness and you're in sin, you're not looking to God anymore, you start choosing leaders that lead you into slavery, that lead you into captivity. And it's like, you know, what are we doing? I mean, even today, when I'm talking to you, they're breaking in the windows of the Ukrainian government. They're taking 6x6s, like 6x6 or 8x8s, those big, long, thick, you know, fence post type things, not the 4x4s, and there's ramrodding it right through the windows of the Ukraine.
Wow.
Because they're buddying up with Russia. Well, hey, Did we not do the very same thing in America? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll transmit that to Vladimir, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's just amazing what's taking place in regards to prophetic prophecy and all that. And we've talked about that. But understand this. You know, in this life, things are going to happen. But as for you, if you call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, if you are one of God's people, check yourself. Mm. Check yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if you're not, don't beat yourself up. Don't panic. Just get in the faith. Begin to follow the teachings of Jesus in view of his mercy, because of his grace, by the empowerment of his finished work on the cross. Begin to follow him. Begin to abide with him, because there's a vast army, and it's not just some sort of natural type army that you may think that's coming like a cavalry, coming against the cavalry here. I'm talking about a world demonic darkness of mindset, of utopianism. You know, once I kill you, we can bring this utopia thing out.
Right.
And as Mao said.
And first.
Yeah. And as Stalin, you know what Stalin did? Stalin, to get in power and to be able to control nations around him, he starved. They actually created a system that caused the seed not to produce on the farms, because a lot of people thought, you know, I got my farm, I got my horses, I got my cows, think about the time of this. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, I've got, you know, I don't care what happens in politics, I don't care what happens in leaders. And that's what a lot of Americans and Christian Americans have said. Mm-hmm. The difference, the unique thing about America, you have to understand, you are Josiah, you are the leader in America. Mm-hmm. Every citizen, is God's going to hold you accountable. And if you're a believer, I mean, you've got to get involved in the country you're running.
Right.
And so what he did was they began to cause food shortages the way they did it. They began to call it to be illegal to be able to even store any food at all. And he starved everybody into submission. And just, I can't tell you the millions that died when you look at and study history. Mm-hmm. And the arrogance of anybody that thinks you can rebel against God, you can turn your back on God, the one who's holding everything together and has created everything, as we just talked about in our last program, and that, you know, it's going to be peachy king for you. Everything's going to be just great. It's going to be grand. And it's going to be oppressive is what it's going to be. And it's going to be, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it. We definitely will in the next couple programs, is that you have to understand the definition of slavery. You have a mindset of what slavery is, but slavery. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that if we turn away from God, he puts us under an oppressor. Mm-hmm. He looses us under oppressor. Sometimes he would actually turn God's people over to oppressor. Sometimes he would just let them, hand them over to his neighbors. And sometimes he would abandon them to an oppressor. Imagine that. I mean, there's a difference of being God being with you in the midst of your consequences, but then God abandoning you in your consequences. Mm. And then you have the hordes of hell just devouring, you know, everything about you. And it's like, we have to pay attention. We have to pay close attention. Don't panic, repent. You know, and if you're up under someone who isn't even tapping into this area, they're not hearing from God. Mm. I mean, encourage them, give them a couple, you know, give them a few points, but you don't have a lot of time to start some less, you know, transformation project there. You got to get in a relationship with God and begin to abide. And so I just want to go right into this after this break. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 9. And this is what we've been going to, verse 28, and begin to talk about it. Time is short in regards to our responses. The world's not going to be over. I'm not talking about, you know, Armageddon or anything like that, but I'm talking about great oppression and captivity and life as you know it overnight. As you know it. I mean, think about West Virginia, and just overnight, they were melting ice to be able to give water to their baby. And you think, well, that couldn't happen here. It just happened.
Right.
I mean, think about over and over again, these freezing storms that have never happened in the last 20 years. It's happening. Mm-hmm. These tornadoes that have never been so big. It's happening. It's all happening. But the thing about it is, and notice this, and as we talk more about this, notice that spiritual activity, right or wrong, responds, the earth, the atmosphere and the universe respond. In other words, the natural responds to the spiritual. So don't think that you can be spiritually in rebellion to God and then all of a sudden your job's not going to come back at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your government's not going to come back at you. I mean, there's the physical responses in this environment called around us, or the creation, will respond to us. And so, yes, that you will suffer physically for spiritual rebellion, but you'll also benefit physically for an obedience to God. That's what he says, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so don't divide the physical nature and what's taking place from the spiritual walk with God. Understand that whatever happens in the spiritual will just manifest powerfully in the natural, good or bad. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What's the difference between an ordained minister and a minister who is commissioned? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Our bylaws are very explicit that a commissioned minister can do everything but marry and bury. The IRS is dragging its feet in one case and has denied a campus minister in the other case on their exemption.
It's a tougher call because usually what the test is, do they serve the functions of a minister, which is usually you can marry and bury and you're ordained. I would say if they're not ordained, it's going to be very difficult. And when they're ordained, you're going to have no problem. But until they're ordained, I think it's going to be very difficult in the sense of a housing exemption or any of that. That's given as a what they call the grace of government. And I think you've got to have churches tax exempt because you run into all kinds of church-state separation issues. But when it comes to individual ministers, it's a different situation.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan,
yeah,
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John, and we're going right into Nehemiah. You know, we've been talking about Nehemiah, the heart of Nehemiah, and the secret to rebuilding the church in America to the place that actually it could be building the church to the place that needs to go. Maybe it's never been here before where we're going. And at this point, understand this whole process. If you missed the earlier parts of this conversation, you can get it at VFNTV.com and click on the torch that you see kind of burning right over here on the front page. And so many different ways to be able to get it. But I just want to go right into Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 28, because they're publicly now going through a public repentance and acknowledgement of God. And they've already publicly dedicated a quarter of the day to the Word of God and reading of the Word of God, another quarter of the day of confession. We talked about in previous programs and talked about the Asbury College revival and what took place in the context of that and how that's, you know, you think about it, and worship. And how many times do we worship without confession or worship without the teaching or the word of God? Somebody says, let's just worship forever. And it's like, well, let's find out who we're worshiping. Right. Let's teach from the word of God. Let's deal with our sin. Let's confess our sins. And now let's worship him.
Right.
So he'll accept our worship. And that 80% factor, according to George Bond or whatever that number is there, think worship is about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't want to get in his word, which 81% of regular church attenders or church Christians in America, according to George Barnard, don't even pick up their Bibles at all. You think about it, but they say, you know, sing me another song. It's like, for who and for what? For you. Mm-hmm. And so understand the context of this. It's the word. The word convicts us and brings us into a place, affirms us. It challenges us. It brings us into alignment with the desires of the heart of God. And in the context of that, he forgives us because we're able to confess and acknowledge that he's God and he forgives us of our sins. And now we have a reason to worship him. If you don't even understand what's happening here, that's why you don't know possibly what worship is about. But when you see how his expectations of you and me, and we just think, oh my goodness. And he goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it turns us to the cross and it turns us to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you. Forgive me. And the Lord says, just forgive. It's forgiven. And then you go, praise God. And look, all of a sudden, praise God. And all of a sudden you start singing. You see what I'm saying? It's just a natural thing. But if you sing to yourself and to each other, I mean, that's a religious action. That's a Matthew chapter 7 thing going on. But if you actually worship, there's nothing like that broken reality, grateful, you know, release of, I'm just so thankful, you know. And so Nehemiah chapter 9, this is all taking place in all these progressions that we were talking about. But in verse 28, chapter 9, verse 28, he says, but as soon as they, and he's talking about history, and he's going, you know, that you blessed your people, and as soon as you blessed them, brought them into a land, and then they would actually turn against you, and they would shut down the ones who were trying to tell them, don't turn back to God.
Right.
And he's over and over again, he's kind of going through rehearsing this. And so we're saying, he's telling God, we're aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people say, don't remind me. I don't want to know about my life.
Hmm.
Quit bringing up my journey. You know, I don't want to hear it anymore. And it's like, you know, if you remember your journey, you'll humble yourself, right? Yeah, if you remember your journey, like, like T.D. Jakes says, you know, Satan will come and whisper something in your ear and make you drop the mic.
Right.
And we need to always be aware the only reason any of us are doing what we're doing is by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And one way to do that is remember your journey. Remember your journey and God's goodness in your journey and his mercy. And so he's talking about right here. And he says right here in verse 28, he says, but as soon as they were rested, when he brought them into this place, he brought them in this vast, spacious land, all those wonderful things. As soon as they rested, they again, think about it, did what was evil in your sight.
Mm.
Did what was evil in your sight. They abandoned, think about it, then you abandon them.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. That earlier, he handed them over, as you heard in the previous program, to their enemies. Now we're finding out, and people say, oh, it's just the same thing. It's going to be the same thing again. You know, I'll just go out and sin, and then I'll come back, and, you know, I'll just get a spanking, and then I can handle that. Well, last time, he handed you over to the enemies.
Mm.
This time, he says, but as soon as you, or they, rested, they again did what was evil. They went back to the sin again in the sight. And he says, then you abandoned them in the hands of their enemy. You abandoned them so that they ruled over them. I mean, think about that. Being abandoned versus handed over, and God's with you in the process of that discipline, the things going on. And so there's a big difference between, and you have to understand, God doesn't make your enemies. God does not, you know, stir someone up against you. There's already enough people stirred up against you.
Right.
You know, anybody that's held captive by Lucifer pretty much wants to destroy you and destroy your reputation, everything about you. What he's doing when that's not happening in your life, when they don't have access to you, is because God's preventing them from having that kind of access
that's
to
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you came up with some kind of secret protection plan.
Hmm.
It's God and his protective hand on your life.
Right.
And so when he turns you over, think about that. That's when that just comes in, your enemy comes in. So it's danger. It's a very dangerous time being on liberty. You know, most, you know, military has liberty, you know, sailors, Marines. I don't know if the Air Force has liberty. I'm not really sure.
They're always on liberty.
I don't know. I mean, we love them. Air power. Go for it. Yeah. And, And although we do wish you put God right back in your, in, anyway, so, and, but you think about it, that sailors were getting trouble on Liberty, but while they were on their quarters, while they were standing watch, while they were, you know, piloting the ships, why the Marines are on the front line, why they're in the foxholes and the tanks and all the things that are going on with the soldiers. I mean, very, you just get focused, but on Liberty is when they get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And when you, it's dangerous. You got to stay so in tune when you're walking in the blessing, because you can die in the blessing. Hmm. The blessing can kill you, because all of a sudden you don't have diligence. You don't have integrity. You don't have character. And, you know, giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you. And it's so crazy in regards to, it's like, get character. And character comes in close proximity to those who God's placed over you.
Hmm.
Whether it's your boss, whether it's your parents, you know, whether it's in ministry, I mean, whoever it is, just get close. And believe me, God will use that situation to be able to challenge you to grow. And God even used Saul with David. He even used Eli with Samuel. And so don't say, well, this person can't. Listen, he used Moses. He used Pharaoh with Moses, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, relax, relax, and suffer through it, right? And then you forget how you got there when, in these situations, and you forget who got you there, and you start taking credit for it. You start writing books and start figuring out and giving your little plans and ideas. And it makes me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And he says, so if you think you are standing firm, if you think you are, think about that.
Mm.
Not if you're thinking that I, God, have caused you to stand firm. That's a different thing. But if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And over again, that's what happened. You know, and that's what's happening right now, that you know, so many people who call themselves the Lord's people are thinking you're doing this. Because that's the only reason you would not be totally upset about them trying to remove this Bible from this kid up in Chicago just the other day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Fox News is reporting, that he brought his, you know, 6-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy with autism, brings his Bible to read during his break. And the teacher says, that's only for church, and took it away from him.
Mm.
But remember, it's a government by the people. So you allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. Don't blame that on the school board. Don't blame that on the president. Don't blame that on the Congress. It's a government by the people and for the people. We the people. You allow that to happen. And guess what? Whether you know that or not, you will know that under great oppression, because you'll be reminded that God gave you this. It's one nation under God, not under government. And so understand that, and also think about, you know, that what happens in times of blessing is that, you know, some people just don't, they you know, I want a 20-hour work week. I want a 10-hour work week. I want a 2-hour work week. You know, I don't want to work. I just want to just, you know, watch TV all day long. I want to, you know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 15 lets us know that idleness produces idolatry, produces sin in our life. And this is what he's addressing this. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer, okay, believers, God's folks, who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings that we've been teaching you. For you yourselves know who you ought to follow. You should follow our example that we've given you. And he says, we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to anyone for you. We did this not because we did not have the right for such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. You have to understand, that's not a mean thing. It's the fact is that you're going to end up in captivity again. Mm-hmm. You're going to go right back. God's folks, he says, the believer, you're going to end right back in bondage and captivity again when you don't understand the concept of this, mm-hmm. what he's saying. We hear that some of you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy. They're busy bodies. Think about it. Such people, we command and urge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey these instructions in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they would feel ashamed for what they're doing. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Proverbs 6:10 tells us in 11, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of the folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. And understand this, it's spiritual idleness produces idolatry. Being idle in the things of God produces spiritual poverty in your life. These truths not only reflect the natural, but they also reflect the spiritual. Remember, the spiritual will manifest in the natural. If your spiritual world gets shaken up and you turn away from the God who holds the world together, your natural world's going to be shaken up. And this is what he says. He says, study to show thyself approved. Abide with me, Jesus says in John 15. Apart from abiding in me, you can accomplish nothing. In that you'll be safe, fruitful, and protected, and this repeated pattern of captivity and bondage will be broken in your life. Listen, we're going to continue this conversation. We're finding out, my goodness, how in the world can we keep going back and repeating a pattern of bondage and slavery and captivity and darkness? Let's not be handed over and abandoned by God to our enemies. Let's turn to God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, your giving, your contributions, we're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week, every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome all our Christian Television Network audience out there and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
We've been focused and our nose to the biblical grindstone and saying, you know what? You know, we are going to find out, Lord, what is the pattern? What is the way of bringing us back, rebuilding or even building the church to a place that you want it to be? And we're going through the heart of Nehemiah. And if you've missed it, you need to be able to go back and listen. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com, and you can click right there on the torch. It's right behind me. For those that are listening on radio, just go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch, or you can probably eventually get the whole series in the VFNTV store, but it's free for you on the torch, so you can go there and get it, or the app. But you need, believe me, this biblical pattern, we're going to soak on it and soak on it soak on it. This is the interesting thing, too, as we're talking about it, is we don't have a lot of time to respond. And so, but it doesn't take a lot. I mean, you think about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and this is, they came down to him and said, listen, that a vast army is coming against you and they'll be here in an hour. I mean, it was like, we'll be here tomorrow. I mean, that wasn't a lot of time, but it was time enough to do what I'm talking to you about. It's time, and if you haven't yet heard, you know, positioning yourself to win potential victories from your enemies, you know, there's a vast army coming against America. You need to get that. You can get that at the VFN TV store, and you need to get it. Don't. That's just going to be so sad if you it becomes history to you instead of prophecy, because history means it's too late to go back and read it. And there's nothing worse than a late prophecy. Mm. Like, yeah, I the Lord told me that 10 years ago, you know. And then, and, you know, I was thinking this too, and understand this. Don't think it's strange. And we may talk about it a little bit later on. But understand, if people are not listening, that's not unusual in a rebellious situation, but you don't have the option still not to tell. Mm-hmm. You still have to say. And one of the reasons why we're here, and I'll talk about it probably today's program, is to do what God said, you know.
Today.
Yeah, you're not going to have a lot of folks at that time, you know, going, this is wonderful, this is great, but we could. There's been plenty of times in history where God's people said, like Jehoshaphat, let's position ourselves, let's receive from God, let's get the strategy from God, and let's do exactly what God said. And this is what Nehemiah, we're learning a strategy for rebuilding or even building the church to a point where it needs to be for this next third great awakening that we believe, if we do this, that God would grant us. And Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 28, and I was just talking previously in the previous program about, you know, the dangerousness of idolatry and being on liberty, and you can get lost in the blessing, and you got to get that if you haven't heard that yet. But what happened was, as soon as God gave them rest, and he's rehearsing what the history was like, and he's saying, we know that. We know that you gave them rest. We know that you delivered them from their enemy. They cried out, you delivered them, you gave them rest, and they went right back again. That's what's happening here. In verse 28, the latter part, he says, in the rest, they turn right back to evil again. And so they got oppressed again. He says, this time I abandoned them to their enemy. And there's a big difference between, you know, handing you over to your neighbor was one thing he did. Another one was that he turned them over to their enemy. And this one, he's turning them over, he's abandoning to their enemy. Hmm. So a neighbor would be somebody that borders your nation, for example. And all of a sudden, now you got, you know, we got Canadians are like, you know, we're coming down to hurt you. That's my one accent. They're pretty fierce, even though they have all that bouncy stuff. They're pretty fierce. And so, but that's being handed over to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, being handed over to your enemy means it could be anywhere, you know, but being abandoned to your enemy, it means hope it works out for you. It's going to be really rough. I'll see you in 40 years. Mm. Right? You imagine that? You just, you know, can imagine, you look at the prophet who didn't prophesy, and it's like, you should, and it's amazing. They wouldn't listen to you when you did prophesy, but when and the ones who didn't prophesy, they're probably going to tell what they're going to do to those guys.
Yeah.
Let me give you a clue. Don't say, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Mm. You're not going to make it.
Not going to end well.
Anyway, so, in Nehemiah 9:28, in the latter part, he said, when they're under this oppression from being abandoned to their enemy by God, he says, then they cried out to you again, and you heard from heaven, and in your compassion, you delivered them time after time after time after time. And I could tell you from my own personal experience that God has been merciful to me. He's been compassionate to me, and he's delivered me time after time after time from the plans of my enemies, from the hands of my enemies, from those who wanted to destroy me. And in the beginning of my walk, he delivered me from me.
You were going to end it.
You know, you're just like, oh my goodness, dear Lord. But it reminds me, though, that okay, so if God is turning us over to the plans of our enemy, which helps you understand the doctrine that God is not doing these things to you, there's enough evil folks that will do it to you outside of God doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. So he's just, evil folks are getting over you. Mm-hmm. You're getting the one up over you. He says, when he does this, he says, the goal is to bring you back to him, not to write you off, but to write you in the Lamb's Book of Life. So understand, the quicker you repent, the minimum force necessary that'll be applied to you by the enemy. And even this, even before the enemy lays hands on you, even before the terrible thing hits, even if you're Ahab, you can fast and pray and turn, and God will just change his plans. Even if you're Nineveh, if you fast and pray, and there's the Nineveh factor, there's the Jonah factor, there's the Josiah factor, there's all these factors in there that God is looking. Will you just, all he wants, listen to this. If your parents say, listen, they say, look, all I want you to do is do what I called you to do. It's all I want you to do. And all of a sudden they said, okay, I told you three times and you didn't do it. So now here comes these consequences. Do you know what you can do? There's sometimes, and many times, you can actually begin to articulate like Nehemiah's here and say, can I talk to your moment? And then you begin to tell your mom or your dad, you go, listen, five times you told me to go clean my room up. Five times. And in those five times, I turned I ignored you. And I can only imagine how you felt. Because I know I probably had nothing to do with my bedroom. But the fact how I dishonored you and disrespected you. And I can see that now. I can see that was not loving at all. You were loving me. You were helping me. You gave me this home to live in. You left this room. And I didn't even honor you enough to be able to go clean my room up. And it wasn't really about the room, Mom, Dad. I know it's not really about that. It's about how I treated you, how I disrespected you. I didn't even take your counsel with this. And I just want to let you know. I own that. And I'm sorry for all five times that I totally, you know, just disrespected you. I just didn't even pay attention. I just kind of hardened my heart. I didn't even feel the pain that you were going through, how you must have felt when your own son or your own daughter was feeling that way against you. And so I just want to say I'm sorry. And if you can find it in your heart to forgive me, I just want you to know I'm going to go take care of it now, but you can speak into my life, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. I bet you the bottom dollar that parent is not going to bring those consequences on you. If you meant what you said and you're going to do what you said, that parent is going to feel so loved. And that's all they wanted you to do was to have that connection with them, that you would listen to their counsel. And this is what the Word of God says. You being evil can understand that. How much more does our Father God feel that way? So if you can connect, that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He's rehearsing. Listen, over and over again, we did this. This is what happened. We're so sorry. We acknowledge that you were right in the context of that, and we're turning to you. And listen, based on Nineveh, the things that God will stop the intended destruction for this nation. He will stop it because that's all he wants, church. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to hurt you. He don't want people to hurt him. He don't want people to hurt you.
Yeah.
He don't want to see you in bondage. He don't want to see you lost in your sins. He don't want to see your generations broke off. He don't want to see that. That's stuff that you're choosing. You have to make that decision, that simple decision, just like I explained with a child and their parent, and quit focusing on cleaning your bedroom and realize you dishonored your parent. That's what happened. And you need to go back and talk about how that must have just broke your parent's heart and how that's broke God's heart. But dear God, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. If you'll forgive me, and I'm going to take care of it now, which is called repentance. I'm going to do what you said. But from this point on, your mouth, my ears, my hands, my feet, you tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he says, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. In my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. And think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh, my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom. And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that, right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him, that if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking from Nehemiah chapter 28, chapter 9, verse 28. in the latter part right here when he says there, he's talking about it. He says, and when they cried out against you, you heard them from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time and time again. And that makes me really think about 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Quite often you hear the latter part of that, but you don't hear the first part of that. And the first part of that is God turning his folks over, turning us over to something. Mm. Not doing something to, you know, but he's turning us over. And he says right here, he says, listen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, the context of how he was responding at the time, he says, when I, God, shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the breadbasket of the world, America, or send locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. This is how you know when we get really deceived. We start blaming the world for our condition. We start blaming other people for where we are. And it's like the world has nothing to do with how we're being treated in the eyes, because God's totally in control.
Right.
So God's saying, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people, if my people, and that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about if I've turned you over to your enemies, if I've abandoned your enemies, if I turn you over to your neighboring enemies, you know, don't throw your hands up and say, I guess this is how it is. We're going to be in captivity forever. Realize that happened because we sinned. Mm. And then we say, if my people say, okay, here I am, your people. Say, I'm your people. Tell, you know, you're driving in your car, I'm your people. You're watching us on Christian television, I'm your people. So don't say them, it's us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's in the explanation of that child to the parent. That's the same way with God. We just have to begin to acknowledge things and humble ourselves and realize this is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want hardship to come our way. And in verse 29, they're even going more. Nehemiah is even rehearsing more about what happened in the past. He says, you know, you warned them in order to turn them back to your law. That's why he warns us. And we have to understand a rebellious people, they're offended that you would even warn them.
Yeah.
Who are you to warn me? And it's like, well, just got to do what God's called me to do. You know, Jonah would go, I don't like you anyway. That's what Jonah would say, right?
I'll tell you anyway.
I'm a reluctant prophet here. Right? I don't like you. Would Jonah say that?
Yeah.
I never liked you from the beginning. I have no idea why you had me come. No, that's what Jonah would say, but that's not what I'm saying. He said, you warned them in order to turn them back to your law. But they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. Even in the midst of the warning, people just dig in and go, I'm going to go deeper in darkness. It's like, really? You're not going to win in this. It's not going to be good. Then he says, and they sinned against your ordinances. What he's saying is the commands of God, what God's word says, of which you said the person who obeys them is the one who lives by them. Understand, when you say you love God, you're actually in his word, praying to him, you're listening to what he says, and you're doing what he impresses on you to do, and what his word says to do. I mean, in view of his mercy and grace, this is truly the one who actually walks in it. Stubbornly, they turn their backs on you, God. Turn their backs on God. There's nothing more painful than to watch somebody that you love so dearly and so deeply, and we be in flaw feel that, and watch them turn their backs on God. But the truth is, it happens every day.
Yeah.
And even entire groups of God's people turn their back on God. And they became stiff-necked and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. And when you study American history, he's like, I think he's been patient, 90% of our existence here.
Definitely.
For many years, you've been patient with them. By your spirit, you warn them through your prophets. Listen, prophets are not, you know, true prophets of God, they're not, you know, they're not conjuring this stuff. Well, false prophets are doing that. But God's spirit is upon them, and it's like shut up inside of them, and they can't, you know, they got to release this word that God's, because it's very, I'll tell you why in a minute, but it's just very important. So God's warning you through people. people that are hearing God. Yeah, he said, they pay no attention. So think about it. They pay no attention. So you gave them into the hands of their neighboring people. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them. For you are gracious and merciful God. So many people say, well, you know, these bad things are happening in my life. God must hate me. He's like, no, he could actually abandon you, let you go, and it'd be over with. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that was mercy. That could have been worse.
He can move his finger, and not only you, but your entire generation, Eli, can be a curse word. But he doesn't do that because he's merciful and he's graceful. He says, now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come to us. In other words, he's reviewing what's happened in the past, seeing the goodness of God in the midst of even when they were stiff-necked. And he's saying, today, this very moment, me, Nehemiah, and the people that have rebuilt these walls, we're in slavery, we're in captivity, we're in bondage, we're in suffering, we're in oppression. Don't let this seem trifle to you. He says, on our kings, our leaders, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all our people from this particular day, don't let all this oppression, this hardship that is on our kings, our leaders, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all your people to this day. I mean, he covers everybody in the genre right there. Mm-hmm. Hardships come on what? The government? The kings? On the government? On the leaders, you know, think about it, leaders of families, leaders of business, leaders of the community. What's wrong with the leadership in America? Could it be that we've sinned? The hardships come upon the priests, the pastors, and the teachers, upon the prophets, upon fathers. I mean, look at the father attack, you know, and all the people. And he goes on to verse 33, he says, and all that has happened to us, and all that has happened to us, in other words, he's saying, all these things has come to us, you have remained righteous. Think about that. He still sees God as who he is. He did not redefine God because he was living in the consequences of his father's sin and his sin. You remain right. You have been just while we acted wickedly. This is very important. The order of this thing is oppression because we've sinned. God has never changed who he is. He's right. We were the ones that were wrong. He's just in how it's been brought against us. And we were the ones that acted wickedly. How hard is it for a prideful man to take ownership of his present condition? How hard is it going to be? And this is the key. Can the American church take ownership for her sin? Can we, God's people, take ownership for the sins of our fathers? Can we stand up and say, that was another Jesus? That is not the right Jesus, because Jesus didn't do that. That's not what he did. And every message ever preached from a pulpit that is contrary to what Jesus says, please forgive us for that. That is not of God. And begin to just understand, God is right. God is just. Don't change God, because you can't. But you're going to stay in bondage forever if you start misunderstanding this equation. But you think about Luke chapter 7, verse 23. He says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Jesus is saying this. They're the ones who are not offended by his judgments. They're not offended by his decisions. And so Nehemiah was not offended. He didn't walk around with a blame factor, a couch factor, psychiatrist, where he's blaming everybody. He took ownership and he realized who God was. And he says, I'm not going to be offended by how you handled this. You were right. I just got to figure out what happened to this point. And he's talking about it. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, Jesus said, anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. And what Nehemiah was just falling, he was falling on this stone. He said, listen, I'll just humble myself. This is the reality. This is what's going on. Because I know that if I let this thing fall on me, it's going to crush me. It's going to destroy me. And this is so important, because he's saying right here in 34, he says, our kings, our leaders, our priests, our fathers did not follow your laws. He's going through everybody. And how many fathers are blaming government?
Mm-hmm.
How many employees are blaming leaders? How many families are blaming fathers? I mean, how many, you know, it's like, come on. It's all of us. Our government, our leaders, our priests, and all of our fathers did not follow you and didn't even pay attention to your commands. Think about it. Or your statutes, even though you warned them to keep them. This is so important. We're going to talk about this in our next program. Make sure you catch it because we're going to continue on. We're bringing this thing to a head goal. You know what? This is what we need to do. We need to have the heart of Nehemiah, the perspective of God. And it's so clear. You know, God's revealing this to us. So make sure you catch every single part of the heart of Nehemiah, the strategy to rebuild the church or to build the church where God wants it to be in America.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen,
You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.